This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Episode number 73. I'm Veronica Belmont.
Thanks for welcoming me. I'm Tom Merritt.
You're welcome, Tom.
You're welcome too.
You're welcome. This is the show where we talk about the latest releases in the sci-fi fantasy world, talk about what we're reading, and also talk about things that you guys are talking about over in the forums.
Talking a lot about talk.
There's a whole lot of talking going on.
We got a book to wrap up. It was our alternate pick, Fuzzy Nation. We got some Sword and Laser live event Dragon Con magic to talk about, but you know what we should start with?
Yes,
our quick burns.
So I don't know if this is true, but it says Joe Abercrombie and R. Scott Baker fans, Baker fans are needed.
Baker.
I prefer Baker, like Scott.
I used to wear that in high school. Oh, wait, no, that was Drakkar. It's totally different. Now, Adam Whitehead, who does The Word Zone, apparently also helps out with the Game of Thrones TV wiki, and he recently discovered that there is a Joe Abercrombie First Law wiki and an R. Scott Baker Second Apocalypse wiki, but he says they're very new. They're very raw. They don't have a lot of information in there, so he just wrote up a post that I thought we could throw our weight behind and say, hey, fans of Joe Abercrombie and R. Scott Baker, there's a couple wikis out there you might want to dig in and get involved and help build out if you're into that sort of like showing off how much you know sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So for Abercrombie fans, firstlaw.wikia.com. And for Baker fans, princeofnothing.wikia.com. And Wikia spelled W-I-K-I-A. We'll get you to the wikis and then just jump in, start coming up with character profiles and events and things like that. I actually contributed to the Patrick Rothfuss Kingkiller Chronicles wiki for a short period of time, right around the time that the next second book came out, because
really?
I was wanting a good wiki, and I found one, but it was not very filled out. So it's kind of fun for a while, and even if you just do it for a while, if enough people do it, it fleshes out really fast.
Did you discover that you actually knew more than you expected yourself to know?
You know, I was being very methodical about it. I was going to the book, and I was opening up the book, and I was finding pages, and I would like add pieces to articles, like, oh, this is from the book, so I'm going to put it there. It's much easier to do that than like dealing with historical events, right? Mm-hmm. Where you like have to have citations. You can be like, no, there it is, page 25, done. So it's a little easier than other wiki contributions, but it's fun because it reminds you of things that you may have forgotten about.
It does seem like this needs a little bit of help. And I know there's a lot of Joe Abercrombie fans out there in our audience who might be willing to lend some time to fleshing this out a little bit more. I mean, they're doing pretty well on places, timeline, and technology, mostly in the places front, and some on organizations such as the Union and the Gurkish Empire. But more of the generic terms and people, I think people could be fleshed out pretty quickly. I think I may actually even jump in and start writing some bios for people.
People like...
because I consider that fun.
Gorst and Shivers and the folks who are kind of across several different novels, like not only in the First Law trilogy, but also in the extent of the newer books. Those are the ones I think are most helpful for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shivers has quite the timeline for his personal story.
Yeah. So his is probably one of the most complex, considering he was kind of just a side character in the actual First Law trilogy.
Yeah. And in our next story, NASA is actually going to be helping science fiction authors become more accurate.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They're teaming up with Tor/Forge Books to pair up NASA math and science experts, engineers, with actual authors that write for Tor so that they can make NASA-inspired works of fiction around concepts pertinent to current and future work of NASA. So, you know, it helps NASA because it popularizes the idea of things that NASA does, right? Mm-hmm. If these books catch on and people like them, then they'll get more interested in NASA. And at the same time, it helps these authors be more scientifically accurate.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a huge database of information with these people that work at NASA about what is possible in the near future, what, you know, hard science they can actually put into their novels. And it also helps probably the people at NASA to become a little more forward thinking.
Yeah, so the authors will visit the Goddard Space Flight Center for a 2-day workshop, essentially, where it'll happen in November. They'll get presentations, they'll get tours, one-on-one sessions with engineers. NASA contributions to the project will also provide access to data and facilities and design and evaluation experts. So they get some really good material to work with. I think it'll be interesting to see how different these works are when they finally get published.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be cool to see. For sure. All right, coming up next, we've got the calendar, and on the 1st of September, we've got Seed by Robert Ziegler. By the 2100s, United States of America is a broken down mess. Its ecology collapsed and its population starving. Out of the ashes rises Satori, a living, self-aware city and economic powerhouse, which produces the only seeds that can survive in this harsh new world. When one of the designers responsible for bioengineering these seeds goes missing, Sienna Doss, former Army Ranger, current bodyguard, is assigned to bring her back and finds herself ensnared in events that will determine the nation's future.
Wow, it sounds similar to Wind Up Girl, doesn't it?
A little bit. Yeah.
Same kind of ecological science fiction disaster scenario.
Adding that to my to-read list.
September 6th, as we have mentioned previously, Legacy of Kings by C.S. Friedman comes out. That's the Magister Trilogy's final novel.
Mm-hmm. And then also on the 6th, Tears of the Sun, a novel of change by S.M. Sterling, which we talked about last time as well.
The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern should be coming out September 13th. Circus arrives without warning. Behind the scenes, fierce competition is underway. Duel between two young magicians. I think we may have mentioned this one before as well. But if you're into that circus stuff with a little fantasy thrown in, some magic.
You're into that circus stuff.
Some people are. Some people really dig, like, you know, like the Charlie Rose Circus. Mm-hmm. What's the Rose? It's not Charlie Rose. Now I can't remember what it's called, but people are really into circuses sometimes, and it's also fantasy and magic. And so September 13th, The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern. A lot of people are very excited about this.
And on the 15th, we've got War in Heaven by Gavin Smith, the sequel to last year's strong debut novel Veteran.
Yeah, he's a niche writer that I have not heard of until I saw this on the calendar. Turns out there he's got a big following, so I imagine there's some people in the audience excited about that one.
Cool.
And then a little farther down the road, but not too far, it's within the next month, very excited, September 20th, Neal Stephenson's next novel, Read Me, comes out. We've mentioned it a few times here on the show. If you don't know what it's about, Richard Forthrast has parlayed a small fortune, of course it's built on pot smuggling, into a massive fortune using a wildly popular MMORPG called Train. Of course, any wildly popular online platform immediately attracts criminal attention, and a group of Chinese hackers build a devastating virus called ReadMe, which locks every file on a user's computer and then demand a ransom. This creates all kinds of problems, especially for one Train programmer named Zula, who is kidnapped and thrown in the back of a jet, finds herself bouncing from questionable bunch to questionable bunch in true Stevenson style. The official HarperCollins announcement calls Read Me Stevens' most accessible novel to date. But it sounds like your typical Stevenson thriller with an incredibly cool premise and a little more technology than Anathem, which was, you know, mm-hmm. set in kind of a alternate universe, medieval-ish kind of situation. I love the idea that a virus is named Read Me.
So it's Read Me? That's how you're saying it?
It's reamed. Sorry.
I think it's reamed, yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been reading it, Read Me, reamed. This whole time.
I can see how you do that, because on the cover, it highlights, it's low-lighted, R-E-A-D, and then M and E are highlighted.
That's how they get you with the virus. You think it's the README file, and it turns out it's not.
It's got something completely different.
I've been infected. Don't trust me.
No, I'm excited about this. I added it to my to-read list a while ago, and I got a lot of likes on Facebook for that. People are excited.
I am definitely excited about this, too.
Yeah, and I need something to read because I am still in the process of going through The Heroes right now, and it's a great book, but it's a slog.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. I am reading Heroes as well. I'm not quite as far along as you, but yeah, it is a slog, and it's not because it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's just difficult. It's bloody, and it's a war novel, and I always read it at bedtime and I fall asleep much too fast. I'm enjoying it, but it's taken a long time, you know, mm-hmm. just like war.
And also, I don't enjoy war.
I don't know.
He goes by the George R. R. Martin trope of, oh, you like this character? I'm going to kill him. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So let me get you familiar with, they're dead.
Oh, too bad. Oh, that very likable. Never mind. Anyway, I think it's time for Barrier Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. And I wanted to talk about a little book that someone wrote called United Moon Colonies. And this is by a relatively unknown author on the sci-fi fantasy scene named Tom Merritt. You may have heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of the guy?
I hear he writes trash.
Trash? That's not very cool. But yeah, he's putting out the book in parts, I believe, on his website. But you can also buy a print copy at Lulu. Have you heard anything about this book? What the premise is?
Yeah, it's some hack wrote it for National Novel Writing Month in 2006, and he finally got his ass out of together and finished editing it and revising it and put it up on Lulu.com for self-publishing. Yeah, that's me. United Moon Colonies is the story of President Richard Chong of the Colonies of the Moon.
Is he based on Roger Chang?
The name is based on Roger Chang. The character is not based on Roger Chang.
Okay.
He comes to a peace conference on Earth at the end of this big war that the moon kind of weighed in on at the last minute and helped finish. And at the peace treaty, an assassination attempt happens against him. And so he has to figure out why they're trying to assassinate him. Is this the defeated nations, the fundamentalist union, the Earth Fundies? Are they back? Are they trying to rise up out of the ashes of their defeat? And there are clones.
Wow. Congratulations for getting it up there. Is this a follow-up in any way to Boiling Point? Is it related?
No.
Same world at all?
It could loosely be interpreted to be in the same universe, but the United States must have gotten itself back together because it's all one country in this universe. I do make a reference to a desk set at one point, which is the big technology in Boiling Point. I think this is better than Boiling Point. It's not the level that I want it to be necessarily, but hopefully it's an enjoyable tale. And it's kind of a fun thriller. You know, there's a little bit of technology thrown in here and there. It's not hard sci-fi though. But it involves the moon and the Earth and they go back and forth between, and you know, it's kind of a mystery thriller sort of thing. So if you're at all interested, you don't have to buy it. It's $12 on Lulu for the print book. That's really for only people who really love it. The Kindle version is $5, but you can get a free version. Just go to archive.org and search for United Moon Colonies. There's a free Creative Commons licensed PDF, EPUB, just a TXT. And like Veronica mentioned, I'm putting it up on my blog in parts as an audiobook. So I've got two parts of what I think is probably going to be about five parts of an hour each.
Nice.
Of an audiobook for free as well.
That's awesome. I was going to say we should do it as an audiobook, but you're already halfway there.
Yeah, I'm on my way. It's kind of fun to read. I did that for Boiling Point as well. I mm-hmm. just did it in parts and put it up my blog several years ago. And it's enjoyable, although I do find errors. And so then I'm going to have to go republish it.
So if you don't get enough of the dulcet tones of Tom Merritt here on Sword and Laser, you can always download United Moon Colonies.
One person's criticism of the audiobook's like, just sounds like Tom on his podcast. Like, well, that's because it's me reading.
We've been having some fun in this thread on Goodreads making some more fantastical art for
your
book.
I actually really like, because the cover I used is just a Lulu stock cover. I mm-hmm. didn't put a lot of work into the cover, but I may have to replace it
Sean has a pretty good one.
I like the one you put up yourself.
Thank you. Yes, it's a Frank Francetta image. So I don't think you can actually use it.
Yeah.
But I did put your name and title on there. Yeah. I can't claim any of the artistic ability there. But it is hilarious, and there's a moon. Get it? There's two moons, actually.
Well, there's a naked person mooning the moon is out there as well.
That was obvious joke was obvious.
Yeah, so the people may not have seen it, so I was just describing.
Well, thank you. Also, in audio news this week, I have to say I'm a little upset because I feel like they have somewhat created a competing podcast to the Sword and Laser, though the focus is audiobooks.
Are you really upset?
I'm not at all upset. I'm actually really happy because I need some more audiobook recommendations. Cool. Tomahome and Jenny from the forums have started their own podcast called SFF Audio. I believe that's how they're pronouncing it. Hopefully that's how they're saying
it. Yes, that was the way I heard it in the episode that I listened to.
Awesome. And they're talking all about audiobooks, the most recent releases. They discuss what they've been listening to. So it's kind of Sword and Laser, but for audiobooks, which I think is awesome. But
now, we should point out, they didn't start it. It was created in 2003 by Scott Danielson and Jesse Willis.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, I feel bad. I'm sorry.
So, but they have been joining it lately.
Great.
And it's kind of cool.
Cool. There are some extensive show notes on their podcast page. That is pretty. Yeah, I guess if they're already at 123, they couldn't have just started it, could they?
Tamahome is contributing editor now to SFF Audio.
That is awesome. Well, congratulations, guys. I can't wait to listen. I'm going to check this one out. I hadn't heard of the show before, but like I said, I definitely need some more recommendations in the audiobook world. I don't have anything to listen to right now. I need to find something. I'll get something good.
We'll get you something.
Okay. And but we are recording this on Monday night, so you'll probably get it on Tuesday or late Monday night. But later this week, we are going to be in Atlanta for Dragon Con, and hopefully we will see some of you guys there.
Sword and Laser will actually be interviewing Robert J. Sawyer on our live show, which will also be recorded for an episode on Saturday, September 3rd. In Atlanta as part of Dragon Con. So you do have to be a badge holder. You do have to be attending Dragon Con to come see the live version. You don't have to be a member to listen to it or download it. Mm-hmm. And keep your ears out for a meetup. We're planning a meetup, and then you won't necessarily have to be badged for that at all. Anybody can show up for that. But if you are going to Dragon Con, head to A601, A602 of the Marriott at 1 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern time, for the live Sword and Laser.
Yeah, and we're also going to have a table for Sword and Laser and Frog Pants, among other things. So if you want to come say hi, we'll be hanging out at the table a lot of the time. That's going to be at the Sheraton in the Skeptics area, I believe. Or is it kind of near the podcasting room, or is it in a different area?
It's going to be in the Sheraton this year. So I'm not sure. We're in a different hotel, so I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be.
But Tom and I are on a few panels. I think we're actually on all the same panels.
I'm not on the podcasting kickoff panel.
Oh.
And you're not on the where art meets science and skepticism panel, but otherwise we're all on the same ones.
Okay, so we're going to be on the Geek a Week reunion panel.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Which is going to be great. And then we're going to be at Sword and Laser Live.
And then immediately following that in the same room, Tech News Today.
Oh, really? And I'm on Tech News Today.
Yeah, that's the Labor Day edition, so it'll be a little different. Tech News Today than a normal newsy Tech News Today.
And then I feel like I'm on another panel, but now I can't remember what it is. Is that just the two?
Are you on NSFW show?
I am on NSFW show.
Sunday night at 8:30?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm on Podcasting Kickoff, the Geek a Week panel, Sword and Laser Live, NSFW, TNT, and I think that's it.
There you go.
I need to get some of those in my calendar ASAP.
We're going to be all over the place.
We're going to be all up in the shiz.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be living in it like a squirrel lives in a tree.
This is like our super fun vacation every year.
I know, exactly. And you know what's funny? We're actually not covering it for Twit like we have, like we did last year. Mm-hmm. We're walking around the live view. I'm kind of relieved, as much fun as that is.
Yeah.
Because it means I have more time to just walk around in between all the panels.
We really have nothing official to do other than our Sword and Laser and TNT.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty awesome. We're going to be hanging out. Anyway, back to real news. There are three more roles that have been cast for season two of Game of Thrones. One, for example, Patrick Malahide, who I've heard of before. He's an experienced British actor. He's been on the new version of Survivors, I think on BBC, maybe?
Yeah.
And he's going to be playing Lord Balon Greyjoy, Who is the
ruler of Pike.
Yep.
And the Iron Islands.
The Iron Islands.
Not the Iron Islands. The Iron Islands.
Sorry. Kind of. He's a father to Theon and Yara, also known as Asha Greyjoy. So that's gonna be pretty awesome. He looks pretty Balin-esque, I must say.
And then Ian Hanmore, a Scottish actor you may recognize from Doctor Who or Life on Mars, the UK version, is going to be playing Piat Prix, one of the warlocks of Korth.
Nice. And then Daniel Portman, a young British actor, he is going to be playing Podrick Payne, who is the squire that serves Tyrion Lannister.
Ah, yeah. Poor thing. Yeah. Sorry about that. No, yeah,
tough life.
Can you imagine getting to work with Dinklage?
That's so cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even as we talked to Christian last week, he said one of his favorite things was getting to work with, you know, Peter Dinklage. And I played a little, or I hung out with Christian in WoW a little bit earlier in the week, said hello. He's been frantically leveling up a new rogue. So he's keeping busy.
Sweet.
Since we talked to him last.
I gotta start playing more.
You want to play tonight? You want to run a dungeon?
Yeah, maybe. This? That'd be good.
All right, cool. Because I've been trying to do all my dailies lately, and I've been trying to do the Kata dungeons to get reputation points for Dragon Maw. So you should come hang out. We'll play some Warcraft. Anyway, book check-in?
Book check-in. So yeah, we had the alternate book Fuzzy Nation, which I didn't read, but you did. And then since I finished A Dance with Dragons, I actually picked it up on audiobook and listened to it, which have to say, Will Wheaton reading it, well done.
Great job.
Well done, Will Wheaton. It was like the book was written for him to read.
Oh, totally.
He did a great job. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I just finished it today. Now, the audiobook, as you had mentioned, includes a free copy of the book Little Fuzzy that Fuzzy Nation was sort of inspired by. It's a retelling. And wow, are those two different.
I haven't listened to Little Fuzzy yet.
I've only listened to the first 10 minutes of Little Fuzzy, but already it's like, wow, this is an entirely different kind of novel. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see where it goes because I haven't met the Fuzzies in that one yet. But did you cry?
I did cry. So this is spoilers if you haven't listened to Fuzzy Nation, so please stop listening now. But man, I was totally heartbroken when the Fuzzies got hurt and when they got killed. It was so sad.
I was fine. I was a little, you know, I was sad, but I was fine.
When he saw... I'm going to cry now.
When he actually arrived at the house, I was fine. Even when he saw the footage and everything, I was even fine when he replayed the footage in court. I was sad in all cases, but when they actually had Papa speaking,
oh my God!
Oh wow! Does that punch you in the gut or what?
Oh like, my that's God! Just,
that's almost mean. It was like that was awful because you kind of think like, yeah, it's, you know, it's playing on my sympathies a little. It's cute little animals. And of course, they get beat down by the big corporation. So even though I'm sad, there's a little rough part of me that's like, yeah, you're manipulating me. But that scene where Papa speaks in court, oh, my God, that just overwhelmed any of that kind of prejudice in me. And, and yeah, I really got to me. But the whole premise, the whole execution of, you know, this minor guy who's kind of a bad boy. He's been disbarred as a lawyer. I loved all that stuff. It's totally my kind of story. I really enjoyed it. And it was like a legal novel. It was like a Grisham novel.
Oh, totally. It was like Law and Order, Fuzzy Nation.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's, you know, like, well, reciting this court case and that court case and Winston versus Green. And then we have these long argument scenes, these dramatic, you know, lawyerly scenes, which actually seemed to have an eye towards saying, like, we know courtrooms aren't that dramatic, so we're going to make a wink and a nod here and there with the judge telling me to shut up or, you know, stop grandstanding. It's like, you know, obviously you're not being realistic because it's a mining colony in space with little fuzzy talking creatures. But I felt like he was trying to be like what might actually happen in a courtroom, paying a little attention to that. I appreciated that.
You know, I went into the story and the audiobook not knowing very much about the first book or about this book either, only that it was a newer, updated version of that story in a way. And so I was actually surprised when it ended where it did.
Yeah, it does kind of take you by surprise. Yeah,
I thought it was going to go on and explain the formation of this new planet and what the Fuzzies did and kind of Jack's involvement with that whole thing. And instead it was over and time to listen to Little Fuzzy.
Yeah.
So I would have liked it to go, instead of getting my copy of Little Fuzzy in the audiobook, I would have liked it to continue on into Fuzzy Nation and like a Fuzzy Nation 2 almost, and getting to hear about how, what life is like on that world now.
Well, maybe John Scalzi will do that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Maybe he'll venture off into that area. There's the scene where they're watching Return of the Jedi on his tablet, or whatever, the InfoPad or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to be some sort of foreshadowing, that there was going to be some sort of like Fuzzy Nation goes to war. You know, I thought that was going to come after the court case, right? When they win protection and everything, I thought the company was going to send in goons or thugs with some last ditch attempt to wipe them out and drive them off the planet. And there was going to be some Ewok type uprising battle scene. Mm-hmm. I'm almost glad they didn't, because that's what I thought was coming. But still, like you, I kind of expected more to happen. I was still waiting for another shoe to drop when the novel ended.
And also, I liked that Jack wasn't, I mean, he was likable, but I liked his whole monologue kind of at the end where he's basically saying, I'm really just not that good of a person. Like, I'm kind of a selfish prick.
I think that rings true to a lot of people, where instead of, we don't like pure characters anymore. We don't like the pure good and the pure evil, because we understand that, like, good people make mistakes and bad people sometimes do good things. And so you kind of like that self-awareness to say, like, you know what, I'm not a hero. I may have done some good things, but sometimes I did them for the wrong reason.
And I still in my mind was thinking, nah, you're a good person. You just don't know it.
And he didn't get the girl.
He didn't? Oh, well, what, did you really expect him to?
Well,
after everything he did to her?
Yes and no. I mean, in most stories like this, you have the girl who doesn't, you know, who's ditched him because he's been mean. And then he rises up above himself and he apologizes to her and he saves the Fuzzies. And the end, the reward is supposed to be, you know, the lawyer guy does something, or the other lawyer guy does something that turns out they're not meant for each other. And she comes back to Jack. You know, again, I was sort of expecting that to happen, and it didn't. It didn't happen at all. It was like she got married to the other guy in the end.
Well, good on, like, you know, good on John Scalzi, though. Yeah, I'm glad he put in some, there were some twists. There were some obvious things, but at the same time, it wasn't a perfect happy ending the way you would expect it to be. I mean, the Fuzzies got off pretty well in the end. I mean, they did win their planet back, but at the same time, there were casualties to that.
Yeah. And
it wasn't a totally flowery, happy world at the end of the book.
Right, plus it has raptors.
Yeah, those are still there. And hello, terrifying. Worst nightmare.
I know.
I say everything is my worst nightmare. I'm really blowing that up.
I think, I haven't gotten far enough to tell for sure. I think in Lil Fuzzy, they're called land prawns.
I've heard people mentioning land prawns. I'm wondering if you're not right.
That is not nearly as frightening as raptors.
Land prawns.
Like, oh no, shrimp is coming to eat me.
I need to visualize this somehow.
Yes.
I need to make a giant deadly land prawns image.
The deadly land prawn.
And post it in Goodreads.
Poisoning ray.
Which is the only forum that understands me anymore.
We all understand each other.
Post things like Frank Franzetti imitation sci-fi fantasy graphics for your...
I so wish I could get away with using that.
Maybe it's in the public domain.
It's not.
It's not? No?
Possibly be, can it?
We'll look.
All right.
It's possible.
Anyway, I'm so glad that I did go ahead and pick up Fuzzy Nation. And I'm so sorry that was the alternate pick to go along with Dance with Dragons, because Dance with Dragons is so long and this was so short.
I know. It did not match up very well.
It did not cover the same time period of reading as at all. But we're back on track and we're ready to pick our next book, which we will kick off on the next episode. But do you want to go ahead and tease them with what it is?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned, we are doing the live show at Dragon Con. And the person we're interviewing is Robert J. Sawyer. And now he's a very accomplished science fiction author. And so I thought it would be fun if we picked up one of his more recent books, Flash Forward, which is actually the novel that the TV show was based on.
Yeah, if you heard about, there was a one season TV show on ABC called Flash Forward. It's a similar situation, although in Flash Forward, the book, everyone passes out because of an experiment at CERN, and the human race loses consciousness, in which they see themselves roughly 21 years and 6 months in the future. In the TV show, they only saw each other like essentially one television season into the future, because they wanted to, for that day to come before the end of the first season.
Exactly.
There are quite a few differences. But Lloyd Simcoe, 45-year-old Canadian particle physicist, is a protagonist. And Simcoe is, you'll recognize him, anybody who watched the TV show. So we will kick it off in appropriate style with Mr. Robert J. Sawyer from Atlanta on Saturday.
Yeah, very excited. And I'll get that posted as soon as I stop being drunk at DragonCon.
Yeah, yeah. Likewise. Yeah. I'll write the show notes drunk.
All right, well, we got some emails that we actually got last week, but we forgot to read them, what with Christian Nairn on the show and everything.
Kind of ran out of time.
It was getting to be a long podcast. But this one comes from Philip. He says, "Hey, y'all, over in Goodreads, I don't know if this has been discussed yet, so sorry if it has. I've seen people wondering about using the hide spoiler feature in threads that are clearly marked spoilery from the get-go. I think it's still important to hide spoilers so people can decide to what degree they want to get spoilery. Also, perhaps more importantly, thread comments you make will appear in your friends' feeds, and they won't be happy campers if a big, nasty spoiler appears in their Goodreads homepage after you comment on a spoilery thread. Keep up the good work, you guys, and have a lot of fun doing... You guys have a lot of fun doing the show, and it's contagious."
Oh, good. I'm glad you think so.
Thank you. We do have fun.
We do.
We have fun.
We have loads of fun.
No,
Veronica can't stand me.
Nope.
Not at all.
Despicable.
I agree with Philip. Please use the spoiler tags when posting spoilery material, even if you've put spoiler in the header. I'll add one more scenario to the ones he mentioned. I get a digest emailed to me of what's in the threads, and by the time I would see in a headline spoiler, it's a little too late because I'm already scanning down through the email and I may see something spoilery. Whereas if you use the spoiler tags, the spoilery parts are not included in the digest. You have to click through to get them. So it helps prevent people that are getting any of these posts emailed to them from accidentally seeing a spoiler.
Mm-hmm. Now, this next email is very long, Tom. So I was thinking perhaps we can take it by paragraph.
Okay.
So you kick it off and then I'll pick up at the next paragraph.
Who is this from? This is from, wow, it's so long I can't even see who it's from.
I know. It won't let me scroll that far in Google Docs.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
Here we go. If we make it wider, if you make the... I'm sure you guys really appreciate hearing all this insidery, hold on, production discussion. I can't scroll down. I don't see
the person's name. I see the end of the email. Okay. Anyway, you'll recognize who you were. Catching up on podcasts, and I heard Veronica say she was interested in a listener's bad theater experience, so I thought I'd share one I had recently. Like the letter writer, I've also had people wait outside the theater for me because I've politely asked them to be quiet, but this one takes the cake. I copied it from my Tumblr, Zombie Otaku, so I hope you don't mind.
So I decided to leave the house for once and go see one of those moving pictures that are all the rage with the kids today. There is an art house / indie film theater not far from me that I've always intended on frequenting, so last night was the night.
I arrive and it's all old people, well, older than me, all gray hair, all wearing slacks and weekend plaid. I'm wearing a Ramones shirt and Chuck Taylor, so they, of course, check their wallets and ask their spouses if they lock the car.
I decide to commit to this place and get a membership. This way I'll have to go, since I paid extra and I have not been getting my money's worth. The woman looks pissed off at me, since this means she has to fill out a card and laminate it. Somehow she gets through this ordeal.
I go into the theater, ready to see Midnight in Paris. A contingent of what I assume were lawn bowlers sit down across the aisle and start yelling at each other in Greek, even though they're sitting beside one another. A man in thick-rimmed black glasses glares at them, switches off his iPhone, and storms to a new seat.
I counted lots of thick, black-rimmed glasses on guys checking their iPhones.
The movie finally starts. At this point, the ancient seats start giving me back spasms. Still, I'm going to enjoy this movie. 20 minutes in, something flies past the screen.
I look. It flies past the screen again. Then it swoops over my head. The audience all jump.
Bats.
Now, I'm not watching the movie. I'm watching bats flying around the place. I count three of them. When they fly close to the projector, their silhouette fills the screen, and I wonder how many of us will now be inspired to fight crime as Batman.
Then they start swooping. I can feel one just miss my head, impacting on the chair behind me. It screams, flops around, and takes to the air again. I'm out of my chair, deciding someone should tell management we're under attack.
But a bat is flying in front of the door leading to the lobby. It's bouncing back and forth between the walls, getting pissed. Then it flies at me. I duck and run out into the lobby.
The manager jumps out of his chair in his office. What's wrong?
Bats are attacking the audience, I say, because I wasn't sure what else to say. So we discuss the decline of art cinema first, then move on to the bat problem.
He looks into the theater. The bats are flying fast and furious in front of the screen.
Yeah, I see them, he says. They're early this year.
So this is normal.
I'm just worried someone might get bit.
Yeah, I hope not, he replied.
Silence.
Guess I'll go back in, I said.
Okay, and he went back into his office.
So in I went. I watched the bats a bit longer, especially when they hung on the screen and screeched. But then they disappeared, and I finally got to watch the film. Sean Twist. Thank you, Sean.
Excellent story. That does sound like a nightmare movie-going experience. Yeah, almost as bad as getting a slushie in the lap.
I have to say I'd rather see the bats than get the slushy in the lap, only because his story did not have a biting. But if there had been a biting, I might feel differently.
I think I might feel differently as well. All right, now it's time for some new member hellos, and I guess I'll just read all these. We've got Carl, Graham, Boots, Eric, Jess, Alden, William, Karen, Adrienne, Kristen, Chris, Joel, David, Jez, Heather, Scott, Richard, Jason, Matt, Ben, Isla, and Jay. So welcome to the forums. Welcome.
Carl, Graham, Boots, Eric, Jess, Alden, William, Karen, Adrienne, Kristen, Chris, Joel, David, Jez, Heather, Scott, Richard, Jason, Matt, Ben, Isla, Jay.
You just had to be involved, didn't you?
I did.
All right. Well, guys, we will see you hopefully in Atlanta if you're going to be making it to Dragon Con. And if not, you'll have the podcast up sometime in the beginning of next week. But if you want to get in touch with us, the email address, as always, is theswordandlaser@gmail.com. If you have any tips on great places downtown, walking distance from Dragon Con to go get drinks and dinner, for example. The website, as always, is swordandlaser.com. And you can find all of our discussions happening over on goodreads.com. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.